Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when they finally upgrade their iPhone after 5 years and we convince them not to do it in August. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way. Before we get started, I just want to tell you, I forgot to start recording my audio until you were already speaking, and then I like scrambled to get it, but I got it up before I started speaking, so we're all good. But we're a little bit out of practice here. I realize I haven't sat at this desk and done the podcast in like 3 months. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. And you were in person in LA.
We did it in LA. And then it was like 2 months before that. So it's been like 3 months since I've been at this desk. And I guess I'm a little bit out of practice.
That's crazy. No, and honestly, I was a little nervous saying the intro because it's been such a busy year. I haven't said it as often as I used to. And now I was like, oh, man, I hope it's still in there. Fortunately, it was.
I think this is one of those, like riding a bike, you know, you never forget it. We're coming up on 5 years. It's been like 4.5 years of the podcast. So, you know,
I think it wasn't it Valentine's Day? I think we've had this conversation. Valentine's Day, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. We'll have to do. I can't believe it's been almost 5 years.
I know.
Oh God. What the hell?
Ugh. Well, let's not think about that for now. We'll do something special for 5 years for sure. But for now, we can turn our minds elsewhere.
Let us, in fact, turn them to the Apple event. And I want to start by not talking about the iPhone because I have a question for you, Noah.
Okay.
Apple Watch. Have you heard a single gosh diddly dang word about that thing?
I can't say I have, to be honest with you.
Because, like, have they just given up?
Yeah, what the heck?
Like, there were... What are we doing?
There were rumors, remember, about, like, the redesign and the magnetic bands, and there were, like, all these big rumors, and I feel like maybe that was a year or two ago, and we haven't heard anything lately. I don't know what's going on with that.
Right?
I didn't even think about that until you just said it.
I know, because I was, like, thinking about all the event stuff that we're going to have, you know, coverage of. And I totally forgot about the Apple Watch. I just don't understand why they just have given up. Because the thing is, I think it's going to start to become an issue once people discover secondhand Apple Watches. I've bought a few of those for videos in the past, and it is crazy how cheap they are and how useful they are, even like older models. Like, let me go ahead and stream a little screen here. They redesigned the buttons. It scared me. Okay. Let's say like an Apple Watch. What about like a Series 7? I feel like that's still, you know, relatively recent.
Yeah.
So here we go. Let's see how... Oh my God. No way. That is less than I thought as well. $100? And that's with cellular.
These all look like cellular models, all the ones you've scrolled past so far.
Why are these so cheap? That's crazy. And this thing is still supported. And it's like, here's the thing. A lot of people said, the Series 7, they said the Series 8, they barely changed anything. They said the Series 9, they barely changed anything. And then the Series 10, they kind of didn't really change that much either. So, like, this isn't even that different.
Yeah. And, like, no, it's crazy. Like, you buy this thing they're selling them for $100, maybe a little more, maybe a little bit less. There are so many watch bands. You can buy perfectly nice third-party watch bands for $10, $15, even less than that if you want. And, like... I feel like this reminds me of like the Apple Silicon problem, you know, that like not that much has changed in the past few years. And there's all these like older devices that are out there that you can just, you know, it's like, do you really need to buy a brand new Series 10 or I guess like Series 11 that they're going to announce if it's not going to be that different? Like, just buy one of these.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I think you're exactly right. It's also difficult to review because they're all kind of the same thing. And it's like, I don't know, man. I will say, this is a good comment here to prove why the Apple Watch is probably fine. 99% of buyers don't follow rumor sites or watch videos. They just show up and buy. Rumors mean nothing. And that, I think, also applies to the product itself. Just because the new model could have, you know, some additional feature, more than likely, somebody's just going to say, I would like an Apple Watch. Let's buy the latest one and I'll customize it because I want the color that I like and the band that I like. And I'm just going to pick that from Apple, brand new. Nobody else's sweaty arm juice on it. And bada bing, bada boom, you're done.
And like, that's fair. You know, if that's what you want, yeah. You want a brand new one, you want to customize it. You know, if it's a gift or something, you know, maybe you probably don't really want a used one for that. But like, you know, if you're okay with getting a used one, I feel like you get one of these. Like, here's the thing. You buy this thing for $100, $150, however much it's going to be. You use it for a while. It's a Series 7, so it's getting a bit older. Maybe it won't be supported in a few years. But I feel like at that point, you could probably sell it and you wouldn't lose that much of your money. Or you keep it as like a backup. I have a Series 5 that I have in my backpack as a backup in case my Ultra dies. Because it did fry itself in the water one time. So I have that as a backup.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I know. And I don't want to use the Series 5 because it doesn't have a lot of the features that the Ultra and the later ones have. But it's a good backup watch. So I feel like, you know, if you can get some use out of this now and then maybe it's a backup watch, maybe you sell it, maybe you give it to give it to someone else in your life. Like,
yeah,
I think it seems like a pretty good deal.
Because they're so cheap, like, look at this one, $135 for a titanium Series 7. They don't even do the titanium anymore. You couldn't buy a new one if you wanted to.
Mm.
So, like, I think you're right. They're just kind of no-brainer purchases to me. Because, I mean, I've been a watch guy for a very long time. I think I've worn a watch on my wrist every single day since I was at least maybe like 13 or 14. So, you know, it there's always going to be something there. And those, they're now so cheap that it's like you can cross shop that with a Timex. Like, legitimately, I've seen, let me share my screen again. Because one of the videos that I did a little while back was on a really, really cheap Apple Watch or Apple ecosystem. And I think the Series 6 is probably the best value because they're still supported. But yeah, look at that. $75, bro. $75. I think I paid $65 as well.
Wow.
Like, they're so affordable. It's literally just like a Timex weekender. Like, yeah, you either get an Apple Watch or you get a Timex weekender. How about that? Pretty crazy how much functionality. Now, visually, I like a Timex weekender more. Especially this like ivory dial with that white stitching. That's $40. Holy heck. I'll tell you what, though. That thing is not going to track your sleep or your steps or your workouts or your heart rate or detect if you fell and need to call, you know, an ambulance. The amount of features that you get in an Apple Watch, even if it's an old one, are just such a good value.
No, I agree. I love my Apple Watch. I know you don't really wear your Apple Watch anymore these days.
Yeah.
But which is fair. I think you're maybe going more for the aesthetics or, you know, whatever it is. But I wear my watch every day and every night. I wear it to sleep as well. And I think it's really cool to have all those sensors and all that technology and all that stuff just like right on your wrist. I think it's a really cool product. I think Yeah, if you don't have one and you just want to try one, you could get a previous model. It's not that expensive. Honestly, I would consider getting, I've thought about it before, getting one of the tiny, like, what is it, 41 millimeter, 43, whatever the smallest one is, getting like a tiny little, whatever, Series 8 or whatever version it would be for like sleep. Because I will say, like, I sleep with my Ultra on, but it's pretty bulky. So, like, if I had that super tiny one that I used for like sleep, and then I had my Ultra that I wore like outside or whatever, it's cheap enough that like I could honestly consider that. I wouldn't buy a new one for $300, but like a used one for less than $100, I could consider it.
And honestly, I think that's a good point, because if you're looking at a new one, why would you not look at an old one if they're not any different? And it's $350 for a new one versus, you could literally $100, take your pick. You can get a perfectly good Apple Watch, probably find an older, like a Series 6 with a brand new battery for $100. And I think that, you know, kind of like what you said earlier, the Apple Watches are competing with themselves, and they're all so good and so similar. Like, let's take a look at this article here, going through the rumors. Oh boy, a brighter display and fresh colors.
No way. I thought they did brighter display like last year, or was it, maybe it was a more accurate or slower display or faster display or something. I don't remember. Something weird.
Yeah, you're right. There was some display tech, but I don't remember what it was. And I think this new one, though, apparently, they plan to shuffle the color and band offerings, although specific details weren't disclosed beyond Apple's intention to address reports of chipping issues with the jet black color on the Series 10. Yeah, that could have predicted that. But it's interesting to see the Series 11 represents a more modest update compared to last year's Series 10. Series 10 was already like the fourth modest update in a row. I feel like the last time there was what I would consider a big, major Apple Watch update would probably be the Series 5. I feel like the 3, the 4, and the 5 were bangers. The 6 was pretty good. The 7 was okay. It did have those really tiny bezels. Or was that the 8? Honestly, I don't even know. Yeah. 7, 8, 9, I have no clue what the differences were.
Yeah, there's not. And I guess they're saying in this article, like, last year's Apple Watch was like an internal upgrade. Like, they might have like redesigned the internal structure and stuff. That's cool and that's great. But like, I don't know how much the consumers are really going to care about that. You know, they're not going to see it. They're not going to interact with it. It's just, you know, kind of there.
And you know what I want more than anything?
What?
I'm not even going to buy this year's Apple Watch. Like, I'm done. But what I would want is freaking battery life. That 18-hour battery has been the same for 10 generations. Can we please get... What I really want is Apple Watch Ultra battery life in the regular, and then the Apple Watch Ultra to go absolutely stupid crazy mode. Because quite frankly, like... So I went from the... I had a Series 5. I skipped 6, 7, 8, 9. But I got the Apple Watch Ultra, the first one, when that came out. One of my favorite things about it was the battery life. Frankly, I didn't use a ton of the extra features, but I liked the big screen. I liked the design. And I really liked the battery life. Because, like you say, Noah, I would sleep with it on. And it is pretty bulky, but the fact that I could do that without having to worry about it dying meant that it was feasible. My Series 10 Apple Watch, because then I went back for a more subdued, little bit of a classier look. I got the stainless steel, the polished titanium with the Milanese loop band, which I really, really liked the aesthetics of that watch. But the biggest issue that I had with it was like, I could usually get one day and then sleep with it on, but it would either die or be very close to dying by the time I'd wake up. And so then I'd like have to charge it when I woke up. And honestly, I will say within about 7 months, the battery started to get worse noticeably, because something like an Apple Watch, you do basically the same things every day, right? On my iPhone, there are certain days where I use it all up. If I'm mapping somewhere, if I'm running a ton of CarPlay, FaceTime, whatever, those are going to use up more battery. The Apple Watch is always about the same. And within about 6 months, I would say, the battery started to not last through a day and a night. And then it would be dying in the night, and at which point I would just leave it charging overnight. So what's the point of having the sleep tracking?
Yeah, I mean, my watch, I was about to try to find out, when my Ultra got fried in the pool and I had to get it, Apple sent me a new one. Was that 1 year ago or 2 years ago? It was in October of some year. Do you remember?
Well, I want to say it was probably two years ago. Wait, because okay. Didn't... The Apple Watch Ultra came out in 2022.
Okay.
I think, right? Am I? It's all blending together.
I know. I don't even remember. Regardless, whether it was... I'm trying to, like, look in my photo library and see if I have, like, a picture of the broken watch or something. But the point is...
I was right. Oh, September 2022. It.
So it was 2 years ago. It was October 15th, 2023.
Yes.
So I've had this watch, this particular Ultra, for less than 2 years, and it's already, yeah, it was just out of warranty. That's right. So that was, that would have put it 2023. So I just checked. Well, first of all, I've already noticed that the battery life is definitely getting worse. So I charge it, like, I put it on the charger, before I go, like when I take a shower before I go to bed, for a little bit, and then when I wake up in the morning, when I'm getting ready in the morning, I put it on the charger again, and it's been fine. But like, if I didn't charge it twice a day, and sometimes I let it charge for a while, then it would get, like, right now it's at 48%. I don't remember what it was at in the morning, but it's okay. But it's at 88% battery health, which I did not realize. So that was 2 years, 88%. Maybe that's pretty typical, but like, even at 88% of the overall battery, I'm definitely noticing that it's not as good as it was. Mm. And it's not a problem yet, but I could see it becoming a problem. And that's probably honestly the only reason why I would replace it. Because other than the battery life, I mean, it doesn't seem like they're really going to be doing that much this year anyways. So I'm just going to keep it another year.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't even know if there's... Is there any rumors for Apple Watch Ultra 3? Let's take a look at that. Yet. Because I think there is going to be a 3, but the 2 was basically just paint.
Yeah, there was barely a 2.
The double tap. It was the double tap.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's see. Let me see if I can pull up here. Here we go. Apple Watch Ultra 3 coming next week. 8 reasons to upgrade. Holy heck. Would you like to take a guess? So apparently, this is new. Now, as we said before, neither of us have really paid that much attention to Apple Watch rumors. I pay attention to the Mac stuff and the iPhone stuff, but the Apple Watch stuff, there's so little out there that I'm like, I'm not keeping a lookout, so I did not see this. Apparently... Yeah. There's going to be a slightly larger display, and so here's the current resolution is 410 by 502. This new display is 422 by 514. Whoa. So that's 12 pixels in both directions extra. Don't think that's exactly going to be game changing.
Wow.
There's going to be a newer processor. So most likely they're going to use the S11. Right now it's on the S9, which is ironic because the Series 10 is on the S10. So the Apple Watch Ultra 2 is actually outdated. A nice. Faster refresh rate. Yeah, classic. Faster refresh rate display. Yeah, so that was what you were talking about with the Series 10, which has the LPTO3 OLED always-on retina display, a step up from the Ultra's LTPO2. Yeah, they went from LTPO2 to LPTO3. Is that a typo in the article?
That sounds like a typo. Or are they,
yeah, I don't know about that. Anyway, okay. Yes, somebody in chat also mentioned this. It has a faster refresh rate in always-on mode, so it has continuous seconds hand. Before the seconds hand would fade away, well, you have that on your Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. Like when it's on, the second hand doesn't tick. But on the Series 10, it goes around all the time.
Right.
So, fair enough. Then there's wide-angle OLED. So, oh, yeah, they're saying that that's just gonna be on the Apple Watch Ultra 3. So again, they're inheriting features from the Apple Watch Series 10 that already exists. Uh-huh. Cool. Satellite connectivity. Okay. First Apple Watch with satellite connectivity. That's interesting. Again, that's one of those features that we've talked about where it's not a feature that you use. It's a feature that you hopefully, in fact, don't. But you know, obviously it's not a bad feature. It's just not something that you're going to really interact with on a day-to-day basis. So I don't think that that would be a reason to upgrade. Next up, we've got faster charging. So they had a different case back that charges faster. Cool. 5G cellular. Oh, that's it. That was the whole list.
I mean, look, they're nice upgrades, you know. Better to have them than to not have them, but like,
yeah,
I don't think any of that is personally compelling to me to upgrade my Apple Watch.
Yeah, I agree. And it feels like they're kind of just working through a spreadsheet to come up with these updates. Like, that's not really, I don't know. I feel like it's starting to kind of feel like the way that Tesla does their updates.
Hmm.
I think the new Model S is a great example of that, right? If you get the new Model S Plaid, you get a different lower bumper piece. Cool.
Ooh.
But the metal, the actual frame of the Model S, has never changed. You could take the doors off a brand new Model S and put them on a 2012. Take the bumper off a new one, put on the old one. Take the fenders off the new one. Like, they've only changed the bits of the car that are made of plastic. It's kind of what it feels like to when we're talking about iPhones and Apple Watches these days. It's we'll get some new camera tech, new display tech, and like you said, those are all great. I'd rather have them than not. But they don't build a sense of excitement. They don't build a sense of, like, desire. I think, frankly, when you go back and you look on the last couple of years of iPhone and Apple Watch, the biggest thing that's lacking is just design. As dumb as it sounds, making something look different makes it more exciting, even if there's really not anything crazy that's new about it. But like, imagine going from the iPhone 4 to the iPhone 5 without the design change. What would that have looked like? You would have gotten a faster chip. You would have gotten a better camera, better front facing, probably better speakers. LTE, of course, was a big one, big update. That kind of sounds like the list I just read off.
No, that's honestly a good point. I feel like, yeah, it's a lot of it is about like the design changes for one thing and like consumer facing features. But like that one can work and cannot work. Like camera control, for example, I don't think was a very compelling feature. But like some features, you know, when they added wireless charging to the iPhone. That was a big deal, or it has become a big deal. The action button, take it or leave it. I honestly like it. I have it bound to the flashlight, and it's kind of cool to press a physical button and have a flashlight turn on. I actually really like it. So there's.
I agree. I have it set the same way.
Yeah, and there's something very satisfying about doing that, and the light turns on, and it's like it almost feels like mechanical or like physical in a way.
Yeah, so. And the little haptic feedback. Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. The action button didn't change the world, but it was like a pretty solid upgrade. I mean, we're both talking about it and smiling about it. It's like, that was a good one. You know, there's been some good ones. The switch to USB-C, you know, not the most exciting thing in the world, but it made, you know, the cable management a lot easier. So I don't have to have lightning cables and USB-C cables, and a lot of my accessories, you know, adapter to plug into the TV or plugging in like accessories or whatever, they all just, you know, work on the phone. So there's like those things plus the design, exactly like you said. These are the things that like people get excited about. The speed upgrades and the, you know, bumping up the Bluetooth version or whatever, like that's all great and it's better to have it than to not, but like that's not what's going to make people excited. And, you know, at least regarding the Apple Watch, that's kind of what Apple has been doing. You said like a checklist. I kind of agree. They've been going through and they're like, okay, here's all the things that the Series 10 has that the Ultra skipped. They could have done it at the same time to the Ultra, but they didn't. So, okay, we got to put all those in there. And then, like, okay, Bluetooth, we can bump up a new version. I don't know if they even did that, but like, this thing can be a little better. This can be a little better, blah, blah, blah. You know, bump up the specs a little bit. And like, yeah, it's great, but it's not that exciting. Like, magnetic bands, I think, could be an exciting thing. People are talking about reverse wireless charging. If you could charge your watch with your phone, I don't know how useful that would be, but like maybe that could be exciting. Just like a new design, like just something that, you know, whatever like people can actually interact with and like that will actually change something for people. Like that's what we get excited
yeah. about. And I think this comment here from Jonathan does make a good point where Apple is kind of stuck on the designs because they're not going to make a round one. So what else can you change? And that's a fair point. And, you know, that's kind of where we are with smartphones, too. There's only so much you can do to change rectangle. At the end of the day, it's still rectangle. But as it pertains to the Apple Watch, I do think that I think that there's something that you could do. Like, what if we reimagine the way that the side button and the digital crown work? What if we reimagine... like on an actual watch, you can pull the crown out to do certain things. What if on the Apple Watch, you could pull the crown out and have additional functionality? We've seen stuff with like the flat screen and the slimmer sides. We've seen stuff where it's a little bit thicker and a little bit more rounded. I feel like it doesn't need to be like a radical redesign, but just something that is visually different. Like when you went from the Series 3 to the Series 4, which is the closest thing to a redesign that the Apple Watch has ever had in 10 years. So yeah, I don't know. I do want to move on to get to the iPhone, but I think that the Apple Watch is in a bit of a weird place, and it's going to be kind of a tough sell for this year, because it doesn't seem like it's a priority for this event.
Yeah, I'm hoping, like, you know, you had some good suggestions. I feel like the magnetic bands that we've heard about would be really cool because, like, I switch my band multiple times a day. I have a sleep band, I have an exercise band, and, like, an everyday, like, regular band. I switch them. The current system is kind of annoying, like, pressing the little button in, and it gets, like, stuck sometimes, and you gotta, like, jam it in or jam it out or whatever. That would be a really nice change. You know, the one-handed use is not super great. I know they're fixing in the next version, you can, like, flick your wrist to, like, dismiss a notification or something. That's a great change. But, like, the one-handed, like, if I have something on my other hand and I can't, like... Or, like, sometimes the Apple Watch, I'll be holding something and it'll be down and I really want to look at it, but I can't turn my wrist. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure if they can do anything about that. But, like, I'm sure there are still things that they could improve. But I agree. We should talk about the iPhone. Before we get to the iPhone, because we want to spend a lot of time on that, is there anything about AirPods or Apple TV? Any rumors about that? Because I'm interested in both of those personally.
Interesting. Yeah, to be honest, that's another thing where I just haven't really seen that much about it. but I'm sure that there was something. I want to see if Mac Rumors has... speak of the devil. A mere 3 hours ago, we have everything to expect. All right, there's iPhone stuff. Okay. More iPhone stuff. Let's see. Apple Watch Ultra 3 that we've talked about. Apple Watch Series 11 we've talked about. Apple Watch SE. Okay, they're saying... It's not exactly filling me with confidence, the wording on this site here, because they're saying Apple could update the Apple Watch SE. It's possible Apple is planning to transition to the Series 7 design, but I don't know. This doesn't seem to be a rumor. I guess it would make sense for them to go to the Series 7 body. But the thing is, they say it would be a more modern look for the Apple Watch SE that doesn't steal the design of the Series 11. Honestly, I don't know about you, but I can't visually... It would take quite a bit of examination for me to identify the difference between a 7 and a 10. So I don't know if Apple would actually do this yet.
No, I agree. And like, for us is one thing, but for the common, like you know, average person, they're not going to be able to tell the difference at all.
Yeah. And if we can't tell the difference, geez.
Yeah, no.
Chat, we're cooked. Absolutely. All right, AirPods Pro 3. Rumors suggest AirPods Pro 3 with an updated form factor. This one, I had heard some about this, but I didn't know that that was going to be at this event. But it seems like it's pretty scant. Given how little we've heard, the earbuds themselves may only feature small design changes. So an updated form factor could be, you know, the new charging case that was slimmed down for the Apple for the AirPods 4. That would be pretty interesting. They also removed the pairing button and had an invisible capacitive button instead. So that probably makes sense. It's a little bit better for water resistance as well. And a new chip for better sound quality and better ANC. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think... Oh, this was another one that I'd heard about. Yeah. They had on Powerbeats Pro 2 in-ear heart rate tracking. And that's probably... I think that's a pretty much a guarantee that that would come to AirPods Pro 3. We've also got live translation, and that's about it. So yeah, a pretty minor update. Would that be enough for you to upgrade to them?
Here's what I'll say. AirPods are one of my favorite Apple products, like, period. I've had it since the original AirPods. I didn't get them like right at launch because they were like impossible to get, but I had the original AirPods, and then I had the Pros, and now I have the Pro 2s. I use them every day for multiple hours a day. I use them when I'm like out in public, walking, running, biking, whatever. I absolutely love them. And so honestly, if they do anything like decent, I would probably upgrade them just because it's something that I use like literally all the time. And I feel like these upgrades are not super huge, but like if it's smaller, the case is smaller, that would be nice because I have in my pockets every day. And the heart rate tracking is kind of redundant with the Apple Watch, but I will say that I feel like I have to wear my Apple Watch super tight or else it slips and then the heart rate tracking doesn't work. And like sometimes I'll be on my bike and it'll say that like it's not like it can't detect the heart rate or whatever. And then sometimes I have to like stop or I have to like balance myself, whatever. Sometimes I can do it while I'm moving. But, like I have to stop and like adjust the watch and tighten the band, whatever. And then eventually the heart rate shows up again. And I feel like if it's the AirPods that are like in my ear, I know they're always super secure in there. Maybe it'll be a better reading. Maybe it'll be the same reading, but like it'll be a backup, whatever it is. I feel like maybe that will be more accurate or easier to use than the Apple Watch heart rate tracking. And I always wear my AirPods when I like work out, when I run or bike. And so that could honestly be a really nice feature for me.
That's true. That is true. That's a very good point. I was also thinking for the heart rate, since I'm not wearing an Apple Watch anymore, I don't have heart rate tracking on my wrist. I guess the only thing that's a little odd to me about that is I don't wear my AirPods all day. Like with an Apple Watch, you do have it on all day and you can kind of track over time. I guess when I work out, I do wear AirPods. So for the moments that I would be most engaged physically and would want that heart rate activity, I'd be able to get it. But I don't know. I'm on the fence because I agree with you. I do use them all the time, but I'm not sure if I need an upgrade. I don't know. I think we'll have to see. I think if there's sound quality improvements, I'll probably get them. Because the AirPods 4 do sound a little bit better. And I mean, honestly, I might even consider getting AirPods 4 and just and doing the noise canceling without the silicone tips. Hmm. Okay. Other things at the event. That's it. Okay, cool.
No Apple TV. I want to get an Apple TV. I was talking about this for 1 minute. I want to get an Apple TV because my Android TV is really slow and annoying to deal with.
Why don't you just get an Apple TV? They're like $100.
Well, but the current one is like kind of old. I want like, I'll probably just buy a used one on eBay at that point.
It's an Apple TV. First of the used ones aren't even any less expensive. I tested this because I wanted to get an Apple TV for my cheap ecosystem video. Mm-hmm. I ended up getting whatever, like it was like one previous generation with the lightning charging port on the remote. And it was like $85. Oh. And that's kind of the as low as it gets if you want the new remote design, which you do. Yeah. So at that point, you might as well just buy a brand new one. Screw it.
You know what? I'll see if they – maybe they'll sneak a little – what are they going to do to it? Put a new chip in it, and that's basically it. But, like, you know what? If they do that, I will buy one. That's all I'll say about the Apple TV.
Okay. You should buy one anyway because it's – I mean, I would pay – think of it this way. Let's say you buy an Apple TV right now, the current one, that's old, at $129 or whatever it is. And you, let's say you keep that for 6-7 months before they just randomly do a new one. That's $18 a month. I think it's worth paying $18 a month, 50 cents a day, to not have to look at your stupid ass Android TV. Because the Apple TV is just so goated.
That is true. And then it sounds like if I were to sell it, it wouldn't even lose like that much of its value.
No, I don't think it would.
All right. I honestly might buy an Apple TV on Tuesday, whether they put out a new one or not. We'll see.
Also, wait. If they put out a new one, just buy an Apple TV on Tuesday regardless. Because if they do a new one later, then you can just move that other one to your bedroom. Like, I just got a second for that video, that $85 Apple TV. So now I have one in my living room and one in my bedroom. Oh, it's the life of luxury. My goodness. No more stupid TV operating systems. No more giant plastic remote with 700 buttons on it. Just Apple TV. It's the best.
You know, that's fair enough. Yeah, my Android TV, like, oh my God. I try to, like, stream something and it just buffers every, like, 5 seconds and it's, like, 240p and it like it's not good. It's really,
bro, it's worth $130. You're rich, just buy it. You're a software engineer at Google. You don't have $130. Buy the damn thing.
It works. Okay, the TV works eventually. You just gotta, like, it's like my old MacBook Pro, you know. You turn it on, you gotta give it some time to get ready before it works.
Why are you tolerating that? Here's the thing, Noah. When we were 15 and we were, you know, in high school and starting YouTube and doing tech and shit like that, then it made sense because, well, for one, it was 10 years ago, and that was kind of unavoidable.
Yeah.
It is no longer 10 years ago. I don't know if you've noticed. It is now. And then also, just buy the damn Apple TV. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, let's talk
iPhone.
Let's talk about the iPhone. That's the big one.
The biggie. All right. Now, I think the number one thing that we got to talk about is what feature or features are you most excited about?
I will tell you what I'm most nervous about, which is the design, because I really think that it could go either way. I think it could be really cool and like exciting, and they're finally making a big change for the first time in a long time. Or it could be kind of ugly, and then we're not super thrilled about it. So that's the thing that I'm most curious to see tomorrow.
I agree. Well, not tomorrow.
Sorry, Tuesday.
Yeah. Which, honestly, I'm kind of glad about. I like a Tuesday Apple event over a Monday, because it's kind of stressful when we like show up here, do our podcast, and then I basically make dinner, go to bed, wake up, and we're just right back.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But I do agree. I think the design is simultaneously what I'm most excited for and most afraid of, because I just really don't love the idea that we're giving up titanium after 2 years. I really like titanium, dude. It feels so nice. And like this finish where it's not quite a matte finish like all the aluminum products, but it's also not like shiny like the stainless steel. It's a really unique feeling material, and you can't find that on any other product. And I fear that by going back to this aluminum, it's just going to feel like an iPad or a MacBook. And you know, I've been feeling MacBooks since I was a child.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a great point, because I really like the look and the feel. Does put the design aside, it's kind of an old design, but just like I completely agree that these side rails, I never really thought about, but yeah, the feeling, like the physical feeling, is super nice. It's like kind of shiny, kind of slippery, not slippery, but like kind of like sleek, but like not too much, and it doesn't really get super fingerprinted and bad and whatever. And I also really like the frosted glass. I like the feeling of that. And I guess we're mostly keeping that, but parts of the back are not. It's not like the entire back is going to be frosted glass anymore. So it's like, I agree, it's a nice set of materials that we have right now, and it sounds like that's going to change. And yeah, not too sure.
And here's another great point here from Jace in chat. His iPhone fell on the asphalt 4 times and there's not even a dent in it. That is a very good point. Not only does this titanium material look and feel incredible, it is really strong. Like I've taken some pretty big drops with my 15 Pro and my 16 Pro Max, by the way, the big chunky boys. And it holds up really, really well. Like I remember specifically on the 15, I think. Do I have it next to me? No, I don't. I remember taking a pretty big spill. Granted, it was on a wood floor, not concrete, but it was like head height, and it just went bam. And I literally, I looked all around it. I inspected it for like 30 minutes. I didn't even know which corner it landed on. It's so durable. And I'll also say this. Because of that, the feeling of that material, the rounded edges that we got with the 15 over the 14, I also drop my phone less. So it's like kind of the best of both worlds, right? It's a design that's more comfortable and doesn't fall as much. And when it does fall, it's way more durable. So I'm nervous about losing it.
No, I agree. Just when you brought that up, I'm thinking about like the 14 Pro, those side rails, 12, 13, 14, I did not like those side rails as much. They were like, they would get, I don't know, they didn't feel nice. This feels like, titanium feels so much nicer. I also think it's really funny that like the iPhone 15 Pro's marketing tagline was just titanium. That's it. It was literally, that was their marketing. Titanium in big text. And I think it's kind of funny. Now, the 16's marketing was Apple Intelligence, and that's, you know, hasn't done much better either. But the 15 was all about titanium. And I agree with you that, like, after 2 years, if we're losing that and going back to aluminum, I know Apple's just going to, you know, brush it off. They're going to say, oh, this is the best alloy, titanium, aluminum alloy, like whatever. They'll talk about how great it is. And it'll be fine.
Space, like, age airplane materials or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it's not, yeah, it's not going to be, if it's not titanium, then it's like, I don't know. Why did we go down that road for 2 years and now we're just turning around and going the other way? It's annoying.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's, I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that, but I would say that is the number one thing that I'm like thinking about. However, man, am I excited about those new cameras. That I think is going to be a really legitimately good update. Like, I don't think there's really a downside to that rumor from what I've seen. I think we're just going to straight up be like, I mean, we're at 48 megapixels all around, which is fantastic. And I mean, I'm super stoked about that because I've been shooting a lot more iPhone footage lately, and I think it's going to help a lot with that process. So yeah, I mean, that I would say is the feature that I'm just blanketly excited for, because there's another, they don't really make stuff worse. I will say I would love for them to fix the issue of switching in and out of macro mode, because it that started with the 14. It's gotten a little bit better, but the focus distance on that 48 megapixel main sensor is still not that great, and very frequently it goes into like that macro mode, and it's super grainy. The other thing that I want fixed, this isn't really a camera feature necessarily, but I'm kind of hoping that they can fix this in software, is when you take a video or a photo through glass, this thing wants to focus on the smudges in the glass so bad. Stop doing that. We gotta cut that shit out. The amount of times, especially now when I'm doing road trip content, right, and I'm just filming as I'm driving along, you know, and I use the camera control button to pull up the camera, and then I'm like, you know, swiping on screen. Sometimes I'll use this to zoom in, but I'm like, I go to the 5x telephoto lens, I hold it up to the window of the car, it focuses on the like dried, crusty outside of the window and not on the distance. And it like takes forever to try to get it to focus on what you want. I get why, it's the LiDAR, but like, can we not have a software fix for that?
Yeah, I definitely don't take as much like footage. I don't record as much or take as many pictures as you do, but I definitely experienced that issue before, and it is definitely annoying. But I think in general, I agree, the cameras are something that get improved pretty much every year. Seems like this is going to be, we've had some like bigger years some years where there's less focus on the cameras. Seems like this year is going to be a pretty good year. And I feel like, yeah, there's nothing, you can't complain about it. It's just better all around. I don't take a lot of pictures in video, but like I do take a decent number of pictures when I'm traveling. And I feel like having, you know, better sensors, like being able to zoom in more or do an ultra wide and it's a better quality picture, like, yeah, I'm happy about that. I'm not going to complain about that.
Yeah, that's true. I'll save my complaints. And it's not really iPhone. It's not specific. It's more sort of just like the pro iPhones in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But I did see somebody pointed out in chat, you could just buy the non-pro iPhone. So let's talk about the 17 Air, because I think I've already resigned myself to the fact that I will not be able to buy that. Like, just realistically, I don't think I'm going to be able to use that phone every day. But, and this is such a tech YouTuber thing to say, I have thought about just buying it to have anyway, because it seems like such a cool device.
That's what I've thought. And like, I wouldn't actually do that because I don't have, you know, an excuse like you do. But like, it looks like it's going to be really cool. It looks like it's going to be insanely thin. And that's just like, whether it's practical or not, that's just like different. Like, no one else is doing that. Like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I want that.
Yeah. It's just like, it's so interesting to me that I think the first time that Apple has done a design for design's sake update in a while. Because frankly, since Johnny Ive left, it's not that the designs are bad, but they're safe. I think it's pretty clear that they're trying to be safe. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, the iPhone obviously looks good. The Macs look good. But everything since Johnny Ive left the company has felt like its main goal was to be functional and not just some cool design, and then we'll make the product work in that confines, right? So this 17 Air, for that reason, is just going to be really cool. Because, and to be honest, I think part of what's missing from Apple lately is that those types of choices push technology forward. Because let's say it starts with them just saying like, hey, we just want to make a really thin phone. When you do that, that's going to give you a whole bunch of new challenges. How do you cool it? How do you fit the ports on it? How do you fit good quality speakers? How do you make the battery work? How do you make the logic board that thin? And so to come up with all of those things, you have to then spend a lot of time and effort designing those new technologies. And when you do that, you can then use what you've learned for other things. That's how we ended up with Retina displays on everything. That's how we ended up with solid state storage and everything. It started with the MacBook Air because it was so thin they couldn't fit a normal hard drive. They had to start testing other things. It was 2008, so it was $1,000, but that was the first Mac that had solid state storage. Yeah, by the way, it was 64 gigabytes.
Yeah.
And it was $1,000 update. Like, that's just crazy. Jeez. And now you can get 64 gigabytes. I don't even think that you can even buy that little amount of storage anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point being, when you do a design that is purely just to look cool, it makes you innovate a whole bunch of other stuff that you can then use. And they haven't really been doing that. And, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about is, well, why would I change that? There's no reason to change it. So manufacture one. Make it up. It's technology. It used to be just like, hey, we made a cool thing. It's dumb, but it's cool.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, we've talked about this before. It's exactly what you're saying, that like the things that they're doing for the Air can come to the other phones and make them better. It's kind of like we talked about the MacBook, the MacBook that had like the USB-C ports and the Force Touch trackpad. Yes. And like all that stuff. Hopefully the iPhone Air will be like, because imagine, okay, the iPhone Air is itself a full-fledged iPhone with theoretically decent battery life. Imagine if you took the iPhone Air and you made it as thick as a pro iPhone, and the rest of that space was just battery. Imagine what the battery life on that thing would be, right?
Dude, that would be crazy battery life. That'd be insane.
Right? And so you bring what you've learned from the Air to all the other phones. If you can shrink down the other components, maybe you can make those phones thinner. Maybe you keep them the same thickness, but you make the battery bigger, and then you have better battery life. And there is a reason. If there was no reason before, then there's a reason. Make the components thinner so you can have better battery life. That's a great reason. Everyone wants better battery life.
Exactly. And like, we talked about this before as well, but the cameras, right? The cameras on the iPhone 17 Air, it is probably going to use that 48 megapixel sensor that we have as like the primary lens on the current phones. But that's a pretty thick thing. It's like, you know, the camera sticks out quite a bit. And this is quite a bit thicker. So even though there will still be a camera bump on the iPhone 17 Air, I have to assume that they're going to have developed some technology to make the camera itself thinner. And so, just like you said with battery, if we make the camera thinner for the iPhone 17 Air, couldn't we then make the camera bump smaller next year on the iPhone 18 Pro? Like, this is why you innovate, because I feel like we're just not getting enough of that. You know, let's come up with an idea for something that looks cool, and then we're going to develop a whole bunch of stuff to make it. And maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it ends up being too complex. Take a look at the Sunflower iMac, right? That was after the original iMac. They said, hey, we've got these LCD panels now as a technology that exists. What if we made this ridiculously awesome hinge design that moves all around? It's adjustable like 360 degrees. And then afterwards, they were like, oh, that's kind of expensive. And they just, you know, went back to a kind of normal design. But that was just what people did in the 2000s. It was experimental. It was fun. It was innovative. And the iPhone 17 Air, although I do still think I will ultimately be underwhelmed by it, I like that they're doing that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I'm glad that they're doing it. I'm sure there will be at least one, maybe multiple features where I'll be like, ooh, I really want that. I'm just going to get the Pro model. Mm-hmm. You know, battery life's probably going to be one of them. Cameras, I'm sure there will be other things as well. But, like, I'm just excited to see them announce it, see all of the stuff that they managed to do to make a phone that thin, and then to, like, go to an Apple store and see it in person and, like, hold it in my hands. Like, I'm just excited for all that. I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, just being able to get hands-on and see something that's that thin, I feel like it's going to have that wow factor that we've been missing for a while. And it, by nature of how thin it's going to be, I guarantee it's going to have people talking. They're going to say, whoa, is that the iPhone 17 Air? Or, whoa, what iPhone is that? It's so thin. Like, it gets people talking. It gets people excited. And we've been lacking that for a while. So, yeah, I agree. I think that even if it, let's be honest, isn't going to sell that well, I just think that it's going to get the conversation going in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the question. What is the price going to be? And where in the ladder is it going to sit? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Is it going to be $999 and the regular Pro gets more expensive? You think the Air is going to be more than $999? Is it going to be more than the Pro?
No, but everything's going a little crazy now. I don't know if you've seen the rumored. So the rumored price bracket is the iPhone 17 stays the same at $799. Okay. The 17 Air is $1099. The 17 Pro is $1199. Oh. And the Pro Max is now going to be $1,299.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a little bit tough. I do think that the tariffs are absolutely a part of that. I will also say that as brutal as that is, I do respect that Apple has not increased the prices on the flagship iPhone in 8 years. It's been $999 since the iPhone X. That's crazy.
It's true.
So it's like, on the one hand, yikes! $1,200 for a regular Pro is a little bit steep. Now, granted, that is 256 instead of 128 gigs of storage. So take that for what it's worth.
Sure.
But the Pro Max is just going to be $100 extra. Same storage.
Jeez. Okay. But then at that point, you got the Air versus the Pro. You're thinking, so you said it was $1099 versus $1199 or $1299 for the regular Pro?
$1199.
So it's an extra $100 to go from the Air to the Pro. Yeah. I feel like the Pro is always going to be worth it unless you're just buying the Air because it's the Air and it looks really cool. That's the only way that, at least right now, maybe they'll surprise us, but at least right now, I don't see why you wouldn't spend the extra $100 to get, you know, two more cameras, probably much better battery life, whatever other features that the Air is not going to have. Like, maybe they'll surprise us, but I don't know. It's a little rough.
Yeah, no, that's kind of how I feel as well. I think really the design and it being super duper thin is like pretty much carrying that product, which, fair enough, it is exciting, all of those features. But I do fear that it might not be enough. And my biggest fear is that if it isn't enough, nobody will buy it, and then they'll abandon it, because that's what they did with the Mini, which I loved, and I was like, oh, I love that they did this, but it's not quite practical, so then not a ton of people bought it, and then they just killed it. And I really don't want them to abandon this concept, because I think it's a really promising one. It just, I can already tell that it's going to have subpar battery life, and that is going to drive a lot of people away from it, and then it's just going to be like, man, what a missed opportunity.
No, I agree. I really hope, I mean, look, at least Sam's going to buy it. Sam's here in the chat promising that he's going to buy it. Of course he is.
Yes.
This is Sam we're talking about.
I will buy Air.
Yeah, that's Sam for you. But yeah, it's a great point. Like the Mini, you know, there was definitely, you know, a cult following for that. Like my former roommate slash friend was, he had the Mini and he really liked it, and he was sad that it was discontinued. I don't know if Apple learned anything from the Mini. I don't know if it was like difficult for them to cram all that into a smaller phone. I don't know if it's the same kind of thing, but like, I hope that the Air sticks around. At the very least, I hope that whatever Apple had to do to make the Air makes its way into the other phones. I'm sure that it will. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, it'll at least be worth it for something. But like, I wish, I'm already basically giving up, but I'll just say I wish that like I could buy the Air, because it just seems like such a cool thing. So maybe in a few years, it would get to the state where, you know, you could justify buying it. But hopefully it makes it that far.
Yeah. It's also, what's really funny to me about the pricing is people in the chat being like, the tariff excuse has become way overused. What are you talking about? It's a real thing. When you just add, you know, $100 per device, it's a real thing. It's not overused. It's not like anything is going to change about that. It's like, yeah, it just makes it more expensive. That's how it works. I mean, we're seeing firsthand the impact of that. I don't know that Apple will ever tell you that tariffs are why the iPhone became more expensive this year, but I don't think it's a coincidence that after years of it mostly staying the same, I guess you could argue that the Pro Max got $100 more expensive because they cut out that base storage tier, which is kind of like a cheeky way to increase the prices, because obviously it doesn't actually cost, it costs them 2 cents in NAND to give you 256 instead of 128. But at the very least, you know, they can make the argument, oh, it's not actually, you know, and I'm sure for this one, people are going to say, oh, it's not a $200 price increase, it's a $100 price increase because of the 256. But at the end of the day, they needed $200 on top of that margin, probably in large part because of tariffs.
Yeah, and they're not going to say that because, you know, I don't know, Tim Cook seems like he's been talking to Trump a lot and, you know, doing whatever. Like, they're not going to say that and, you know, mess any of that stuff up. But, like, yeah, it's definitely unfortunate. And I also feel like this, you know, it kind of sets the precedent that, like, in the future, even if there aren't tariffs, like, they're not going to make – are they going to make the iPhone less expensive? I mean, like, they did for the MacBook Air. They brought that down by $100 for the latest one. But, like, I can't imagine them doing that for the iPhone. If they're, like – they're doing it this year because they have to. In the future, maybe they don't have to. But, like, I don't see them bringing the price of the iPhone back down. I think it's going to stay there.
That's the thing about price increases. It's kind of a – it only goes up. It doesn't come down. And I will say this. I think Apple – overall, like, I'm pretty happy with the way that they've done their pricing. Like, they haven't, like, the iMac, right? The iMac has been $1,299 since 1998. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and you think you have to factor in inflation to be like, it's the same price, but it's not the same, like, purchasing power.
Exactly. So, like, It's interesting because everybody always complains about Apple and pricing and stuff, but paradoxically, they actually have not had the inflation that most other things have had. And, like, honestly, have you guys seen the prices of Android phones lately? Like, they're kind of expensive. How much is the new Galaxy S, whatever we're on? The S25. Let's take a peek. A Galaxy S25 is $800. The S25 Plus is $1,120, which is kind of a weird number.
Yeah.
And the S25 Ultra, which, let's be honest, is the more comparable one. The S25 Ultra is $1,300.
Wow.
The S25 Edge is $1,100. I don't really, frankly, know. I think that's just a very thin... Yeah, it's a thin one. So, yeah, that'll be the exact same price as the 17 Air. Yeah, that'll be interesting. But look, I mean, that's just... Flagship phones are just getting expensive.
And, you know, they're also really good, and a lot of people, you know, that aren't us don't aren't going to upgrade every year, and, you know, it lasts longer, and that's great. But, yeah, I agree. Apple has – you can argue about whether the price was, like, too high in the first place, but, like, it hasn't really changed in a while, which you got to give some credit for, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what we also have to give some credit for.
What's that?
For us doing a podcast episode. Because that, it's not as easy as it sounds. Let me tell you that. I mean, heck, we're going to even, do I even dare say that we'll see you guys next week?
Well, we'll see you guys on Tuesday.
Yeah, but that's not a podcast.
That's not a podcast.
Are we going to be doing the podcast next Sunday, the 14th?
I will be in New York.
Ah, okay. We will not see you next week.
But the week after that, I will be in Philly. So I could do it. I could do it in Philly. But you're not.
I will be in Australia.
That's right. That's right. And then for how long?
The 28th I'll be here.
Okay, I'll be here on the 28th, so the 28th.
Okay, so in just 3 short weeks, we'll get another episode of our weekly podcast. And in just 2 short days, you'll get a little taste of the Apple event coverage. You guys know the drill. We'll be here live 30 minutes before the event begins. We're going to do bingo. We're going to talk about last-minute rumors. I'm sure a couple of things will come out tomorrow. We'll talk about what we're excited for, and then during the actual event, we'll have the stream still going, but we can't embed Apple Stream. But a lot of you guys like to stick around, and we'll chat about what's happening. We'll talk through the boring parts, and we'll enjoy watching everything happen live in real time. Then afterwards, do a little quick recap before I go off to make my video. So If you're excited for all of that, be sure to get subscribed. I'll put up that live stream for you guys tomorrow. I'm very excited.
I'm also very excited. So yeah, we'll see you hopefully on Tuesday morning for an exciting Apple event.
And in the meantime, I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Have a great night.